Amen.
Isaiah chapter number 54, verses number 14 through number 17, titled, You Must Be Dreaming. We live in a society, we live in a country, in which we have certain rights. Those rights that we have are rights that is given to us through something that is called the Constitution of the United States. I thank God that we live in a country in which we have such a document which gives us certain rights. But just as we live in the United States of America and we have certain rights that is given to us, we also live in a different place. We are just journeying or traveling through this place called Earth. And because we're just traveling through, this is not our home. We need to reach back to our motherland, back to our homeland, and not to grab a constitution, but to grab the rights that God gave us through a covenant agreement. The covenant agreement that God made with us is an agreement in which God said, I'll never leave you, never forsaken you. And because God will never leave us, never forsake us, God sometimes allow us to go through some things in life. And so as you begin to go through some things in life, you got to be careful. You got to keep up with me tonight. As you begin to go through some things in life, sometimes God is taking us through those things because God wants to pull us closer to Him. Do you hear me? God wants to pull us closer to Him. Allow me to draw your attention, please, to verse number 8. You see verse number 8, Isaiah 54, verse number 8. It is written, listen to what God says. He says, in a little wrath, I hide my face. You see that? Now, it doesn't mean that God is leaving you nor forsaking you, because He promised that He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But what He's saying in verse number 8, He says, sometimes temporarily, when you begin to go through something, God says, I'll hide my face. When God begins to hide His face, what God is saying to you is that now there's different types of characteristics that is in God. God is not senile. He's not an old man that He forgets who He is. Yeah. He's saying that the different characteristics that I have, we love the love side of God, one of His characteristics. We love the holiness of God. We love the mercy of God. We love the grace of God. We love the justice of God. We love the omniscience of God. We love the sovereignty of God. But we don't love the wrath of God, which is also a characteristic of God. God will always release His wrath on sin. So that's why when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus said to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, why have you allowed this wrath to come upon me? Because at the time, Jesus was taking on the wrath of the world. You see, God sent His only begotten Son so that He can die for my sins, die for your sins. That's why the power that you have is the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad Jesus was born on this earth, but I am more happy that He died, rose again, and when He ascended to heaven, then He released the Holy Spirit to descend down on this earth. The issue when God was here in the form of a body, Jesus Christ, is that where Jesus was, that's where He was. In other words, when Jesus ascended back to heaven, He says, I won't leave you just alone. I'll pour inside of you a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so now, the Holy Spirit has the ability to be in all of us all at the same time. That's why you ought to get excited, because Jesus died on the cross. Because death couldn't hold Him. The third day He got up again and He rose with all powers in His hand. The power to heal your body, the power to turn your checkbook around, the power to turn your child around, the power to turn your employment around. God rose in Jesus Christ with all powers in His hand. Now, because God or Jesus Christ had all powers or have all powers, powers in his hands. Powers in the hands of Jesus really don't mean a whole lot to me when I'm going through. I want the same power. Remember you said heritage, which means you passing that thing down from generation to generation. Now, just as you begin to pass down curses from generation, you need to understand there's some blessings from way, way back that's being passed down for you. And just like we'll claim this old bad stuff, you know, I'm just like my mama, I'm just like my daddy. Just like we claim that foolishness, you ought to claim the promises of God. You ought to claim the promises of God. Now, verse number 9, watch this now. In verse number 9, he says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me." In other words, he's saying society is so bad, I have to judge society. When you look around, you see everything that's going on. God is judging the society that we live in. Don't you think for a second an earthquake and a hurricane is going on in New York because God didn't have anywhere else to send it. No, he's sending a message. He's telling you he's coming soon. He's telling you get right, church, and let's go home. He's telling you one day soon I'm going to part the sky. And when I do, you better be ready. You won't have time to get ready because we think he's going to come on a horse and you're going to see it and you're going to have time to pray. But that's not it. He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. Boom. He's here and he's gone, baby. You better be ready right now while the blood is running warm in your vein. You better get ready.
Yes. Amen.
He says this, "For as I have sworn," this is God. Now the Bible tells us not to swear upon anything, not even a string of hair, because you don't own anything, you don't have anything. But God is saying it's all mine. I can swear on it because I'm in control of it all. And so God says, I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. In other words, he's saying it won't be water, but fire next time. Now, what God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse number 13, I think it is. It's a very interesting thing in which God promised Noah. Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 13. Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 13. He says this, "I do set my bow in the cloud." Somebody say rainbow. "I do set my bow in the cloud, that it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth." You see that? "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Don't let me lose you right here. Every time it rains, or nearly every time it rains, God shows you a rainbow, does he not?
Yes.
Now, the rainbow that you see is not God trying to tease with you to show you how beautiful colors are. The reason that he show you that is so that you can be reminded that you're in a covenant agreement with him. But what good is a covenant agreement when you're in it and the person that you're in the agreement with, they forgot about it? So in other words, they have to remember that they are in a covenant agreement as well. And so every time it rains, or nearly every time it rains, you see a rainbow, and God is saying, it's just a token. I'm just reminding you that I made a covenant agreement with you. I bet you thought, why don't I see the other half of the rainbow? Go ahead and turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 3. Now remember, God says, I made this covenant agreement with the earth. God does not live on this earth, even though he's present here. His home is heaven. So every time you see half of a rainbow, somebody better see the other half. Somebody better be reminded of what they told me. Somebody better be able to stand on the covenant promises that they made. Verse number 3. Listen. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone." And there was a what? Where?
Round about the throne.
Round about where? So in other words, what God is saying is, you see half, and I got the other half. Don't forget what I promised you, because I'll do it. You got to believe God would do just what God said he would do. You got to say that God is in a covenant agreement with this earth. And because he's in a covenant agreement with this earth, God will always do what he said he would do. See, the God that you serve is a faithful God. Now let me bring your attention to verse number 10. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 54, verse number 10. You got to stay with me tonight. Isaiah 54, verse number 10. The Bible declares, listen, study the word of God. He says, study it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So don't be confused when you open the word of God and it's not all in numbers. It's not all one behind the other. No, God said, no, baby, you got to search me. You got to look for me if you want to find me. Now, Isaiah 54, verse number 10. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Now remember in verse number 8, he says, for a moment. He says, when you begin to go through something, God says, sometimes I hide my face. I won't let you see it. That's why when you're going through something, you feel like God has forsaken you. You feel like God has left you. But God has said, no, I just hid my face for a moment. Now, just because God hid his face for a moment, he come back in verse number 10, and he tells you, because of his loving kindness, I come right back to you. Thank God he's not like man, where man get upset and they stay gone. Thank God that even though I sin, God says the wrath of God is poured upon me, but instantly he returns unto me, and he remembers the covenant promises that he made to me. And he says, now I've judged you, so nobody else can judge you in verse number 10. He says, I come back to you through kindness. And when I come back to you in kindness, what I need for you to understand in verse number 11 and in verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. And I will make the windows a gates. In other words, he go on and on and on and saying, but I will restore you. I allowed you to be broken, but now I'm going.
Yes.
If God breaks you, and God is the creator, don't he know how to fix you? I mean, he did it one time. Certainly he can do it again. So it's not like this is new to him. I think sometimes we begin to go through some stuff and we say, I wonder if God can do it. And God is saying, well, you patient number 1,000,000,500 today. I've already done that thing time after time again. That's why when you're going through something, turn the cell phone off, open up the word of God, and let God talk. Somebody said Jesus is on the main line. You ought to call him up every now and then and tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. He said, just call me. I'm never too busy. Just call me. I'm always there. And so God is saying, I know that I've hid my face from you, but now I'm going to begin to restore or rebuild you. And now in verse number 12, he starts with the gates, and he starts with the foundation of life. In other words, what God is saying is the foundation of life is character. The first thing that God will always put in you is character. Because without character, the Holy Spirit cannot dwell inside of you. Because without character, nothing can hold the Holy Spirit, because you just jacked up on the inside. So God says, I'm going to bring the character back inside of you. Verse number 13, listen, watch this. And all the children shall be taught. You see that? All the children shall be taught. I thank God tonight for a teaching ministry that he gave me. I can't hoop, I can't holler, but God knows, and I know that you can make me doubt everything else. I am anointed to teach the word of God. I know that. You may make me just not believe. There are some things about you you got to know about yourself. Somebody may say this and that about you, but you got to know you. You got to know the anointing that is upon your life. People will come in your life, speak foolishness. Don't you believe it? You got to know what God. God has called you to do. I may not be able to do what you can do, but I can do what God placed inside of me. And if he placed it inside of me, that's all I need to do. If he placed smiling inside of you, all you need to do is smile, because that's your ministry. If he placed helping inside of you, that's all you need to do, because that is the ministry in which God has placed inside of you. He says that the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their what?
Peace.
Peace. In other words, he's saying peace only comes through knowing him. In the midst of going through something, God said, if you know me, that's your peace. See, because everything else is wishy-washy. Just like people. Friends today, not friends tomorrow. Like you today, don't like you tomorrow. Have some money today, don't have some tomorrow. See, but God is saying, no. When you get the word of God, what you got to understand about the word is that the word will never, ever, ever return void. So when you release the word of God, you got to know that that word is going to come back to you fulfilled. You may not see it tomorrow at 5, but it's coming back. It's still in the atmosphere. That's why, because it's seated in the atmosphere, you got to keep watering it with faith. You got to keep speaking to it. You got to keep declaring it, and you got to keep declarations upon the word to keep it watered so that it can come back to you. Now, verse number 14, which is where I really need to be in the last 2 minutes that I have. He says, in righteousness shall there be what? Established. Now, point number one tonight is victory. Watch this. Before you start fighting, he says, you got to already know you established. In other words, before the first punch is thrown, you got to know you already have victory.
All right now.
Thank you, Lord.
You gotta know that you already have victory before the thing gets started. Now, if I got victory before the thing gets started, I don't even know what the thing is. I just know that I'm more than a conqueror. I don't even need to know the name of the thing. I just need to know inside of me is greater than anything that is going on in the world. So point number one tonight is victory. You gotta know that you have already overcome whatever it is that you're going to face. You got to know that when you begin to face it, God is saying, but you have to have victory before you go. Now, God spoke a word to Noah, and what God said to Noah is that I'll make a covenant through you about this earth. And that is, the covenant is, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Now, sometimes when God has that wrath side, that character of God is being expressed or manifest, God turns his face away from you. And so sometimes when you going through something, it's not because Satan is after you, it's because God has turned his face on you. Well, how can a loving God turn his face on me? Because he is a God who's a just God. And he has to keep his word. And he says, I hate sin. And where sin is, he says, I walk away from sin. I don't walk away from you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But don't you expect for me to like your sin as much as you like it. Don't you expect for me to enjoy it as much as you enjoy it. God is saying, I'm setting you up. I have established you that you may have victory. And because you are already established, thou shalt be far from oppression. In other words, he's saying there's nothing going to be on you, no worries, no concerns that going to keep you under. The only thing that's keeping you under is you. Because when you understand I have victory, what you understand is that I may lose some battles, but this war I will win. I may lose a little bit here and fall down over here, but the big picture, at the end of the day, baby, I'm still standing and I'm stronger than I was on yesterday. I can just look in this congregation. I remember some of you when you first came here. The car wouldn't start. You had to ride the church van. I remember some of you, but look at you now. Riding good, looking good, overweight. God is blessing you right now. God is still blessing you. God is still blessing you. I said, God is still blessing you. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now look at verse number 15. He moves from victory in verse number 14 to verse number 15. He looks at vision. But he looks at vision not from where you look, but from where he looks. Notice what he says in verse number 15. He says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, he said, when you begin to go through something, look for your haters, look for your enemies to team up.
Okay.
When you begin to go through something, strange bedfellows.
Right? Okay.
I don't like you, Paulette, but because I don't like you, that really doesn't matter. But I'll team up with you to get Brandon. Now, as soon as we're done with Brandon, I'm going back to talking about you.
Okay.
Don't think we're friends. I'm just trying to get Brandon, and you just going to help me. And so God is saying the vision is sometimes people will see you and try to destroy you. They'll come together. When they come together, they have a mindset that they're going to destroy you. And so they come together because their vision is we're going to get you out of here. But he says, whosoever shall gather together against thee shall, they're going to fall. See, God has a way of putting a trip every time they come against you. So he shows you the vision that your enemies have, not your vision. Your vision is victory. He's already established that in verse number 14. Verse number 15, he goes to your enemy's vision and say, this is what they're looking at, and that is to come together and kill you. Verse number 16, behold, I created the smith. Now, a smith in the Bible represents a professional person, one that knows how to do what they know how to do. In other words, he's saying, I put together these professionals. This is God in verse number 16. And where he's turning to is from their vision to a vessel. A vessel is a naval term. Vessel has to do with a ship. The Bible refers to the church as Zion, or the ship at Zion. So God is saying, I know how they see you, but what you have to understand is you are a vessel of mine. Now, a vessel is no good in the wrong hand. A vessel must be open to something to be poured through it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. And that is when they gather together to come against you, God is saying, but baby, I'm going to fight your battles every time. He says, the vessel is the vessel that I put together. He says, I brought some folks together. And you know, sometimes you're going through something and some folk that you thought that really hated you come to find out them the ones that come to your rescue. I wonder, have you ever been going through something and you say, I thought Jamaica didn't like me. And come to find out, Jamaica was the only one that was praying for me. You better be careful, because you just may be entertaining angels. Be careful who you talk about. Be careful what you say. And he says, you got to understand that you are a vessel. Now that you understand verse number 14, that you already have the victory, verse number 15, the enemy has a vision. They have a plan, a plot for you. Verse number 16, but you are a vessel. Now, verse number 17. Now that you understand you, understand your haters, understand your purpose, you got to not understand, you got to know that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. So he moves from vessel to vindication. Vindication is what he's saying is, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You see what the co-workers are doing. That ain't going to prosper.
All right.
You understand what they stole from you, what they took from you?
Yes.
But they won't prosper. They won't prosper. They only hold it for a little while. So he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And listen to this. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. Remember, he says in judgment. But in verse number 8, he says, in a little wrath, I hid my faith. So what he's saying is that I hid my face in verse number 8. He said, I already judge you. I've already judged you. Can no man judge you? Nobody can judge you. Not here, not right now. They don't judge you. God is saying in verse number 8, I've already judged you. And when I judged you, I turned away from you just for a little while. Because I judged you, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Vindication. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. In other words, what God is saying, don't worry about what they think about you. They thought that you were over. They thought that you were finished. They must be dreaming. They must be dreaming. Somebody need to wake that fool up. Tell that fool, I'm not done. I'm standing. What I've learned about myself is I'm stronger than I thought. I know you thought that I was going to be out. I know you thought that was going to kill me. I know you thought that was going to destroy me. But no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that comes against you, God says, you don't even have to fight that battle. You don't even have to deal with it. He says, I got you covered. And because I have you covered, you need to understand that I know what they desire, but I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do in and through you. God has a plan for your life. That's the only reason you're still here, is because God has a plan for you. God has a plan. And He's saying, can I have my way with you? Can I have my way? Sometimes in pain. Sometimes in what feels like defeat. Can I have my way? The many people that walked out of your life lied on you, turned their back. He says, I got you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But He's only talking about His children, in which He's in a covenant relationship with them. As we open the doors of the church tonight, I want to speak to that person that perhaps is sitting here and you're not a part of the church tonight. We want to extend an invitation to you tonight. And the invitation is quite simple. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus will come in.